kids are very resilient, and I had a great time. But, you know, there was no bath and there was no kitchen. And
there was no dad.
And there was no dad. And there very often wasn't no mum, because my mum worked in Soho and she sang and worked in clubs and often wasn't home till 3 a.m. So it was a funny, disparate existence. But the flats themselves were a little world of their own. I mean, the people who lived below me were the Pyramaldes, and there was about 8 of them.
And it's interesting, because that would have been Little Italy, wouldn't it? And
exactly,
they're clearly
right.
Still an Italian family.
And there really was a flavour of that, and I hope that comes across in the book, because that was a tremendous thing. And they, of course, were big family people. So huge Italian... I was surrounded by huge Italian families. But the Pyramaldes, on each landing, there were two flats. They were council flats. But the Pyramaldes, Mr. Pyramaldi, had contrived to knock his through, so... They had a cupboard that blocked the door in case the council came round. But that cupboard didn't go to Narnia. It went to the other side of their illegally enhanced council flat. But there was Cavendish Mansions were funny old Peabody building, but they were kind of between Theobald's Road and Clerkenwell Road, like a little island. And it really was like a little island, you know. If I don't know if you could imagine Brooklyn in the 1930s or something. That's kind of what it felt like.
And
but you're right, it was tough. But, you know...
And then
you're
it moves
a lot tougher than a lot of people.
Then it moves on to Soho, and it is because that, as you say, is where your mum kind of spiritually was, wasn't she? Even when she physically wasn't there, that was her life, if you like.
Exactly, you know. And again, that's the sort of colourful element of that period of, you know, going to places like the Colony, which of course you remember, which was just an old drinker, really. I mean, a dirty old room with a telephone and a piano at one end. But it was an extraordinary place full of characters. I mean,
and did you go there as a kid?
I went there as a kid, yeah. I mean, probably about 6 or 7 the first time I went in there. And I remember Muriel, who was the real famous owner there, who would shout and swear good-naturedly at the top of her voice at every new person that came in the room.
Did this feel at the time like a slightly odd milieu for a little boy to be in? Like, did you think I shouldn't really be here, Mum? Or was it just normal?
That's exactly the point, is it was just normal to me. And, you know, that put me in good stead, certainly in terms of, you know, taking as you find and having an open mind about how people behave. I mean, because, you know, the time when my mum arrived in the 60s, of course, you know, there were very serious issues. I mean, homosexuality and gambling were illegal. And drinking hours were highly restricted, so these so-called members' clubs were springing up all over Soho. And they were full of the most...
Full of gay gambling alcoholics.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, yeah, exactly. Very witty, you know, out-of-work actors or drunks, depending on which way you look at it. But it was an interesting time.
Given that your mum was a singer, did you always think, oh, well, maybe I can sing?
No, not really. I mean, you know, my mum was a jazz singer and had a very, very nice voice, and I certainly never had that. No inclination of singing. You know, the first chance I get in the book, we were hanging around with the characters that became the band. We were all piling out the pictures, having seen American Graffiti, which is a very epochal moment for all of us, because, you know, it's one of them films, well, it's the only film I remember where the music was as loud as the dialogue, and it was all about these sort of wild-eyed, good-looking American teenagers. And I was singing Rock Around the Clock when we came out of the pictures, and somebody said, we're starting a band, do you fancy being in it? And that was the start of it, really.
How did you hook up with all those guys? Because they're from a little bit further north, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you know, we're all spread around. And, you know, Kentish Town, Camden Town, all that area used to gravitate to Hampstead, because primarily there was a pub called the Duke of Hamilton, which had a happy hour for girls. That was a whole new concept, which, of course, increased girls to be there. And it was also kind of lax on the age of the people that went in there.
Every area had a boozer that would serve you when you had short trousers on.
Exactly. There was the upstairs bar full of the old codgers, and the basement bar was where you could get away with it. But I think, I mean, you mentioned them, you know, there was this gang called the Aldenham Glamour Boys, they were called. And they used to hang around at the Aldenham Youth Club in Kentish Town, and they were pretty... You know, they were very famous.
They were well known, not just in the area. I mean, I come from a bit further west, but they were well known even over there, to be honest.
Yeah, and it was a very strange amalgam of sort of post-suede-head, kind of spiky-head. I remember they used to spray their Dr. Martens bright colours. As I say in the book, it was like seeing a packet of Smarties coming down the road. But you wouldn't say that to their faces. But Lee, Chris and Mike from the band were all part of that crowd, you know, and that's how I got to know them. I mean, the other extraordinary thing about them was that they the trains used to come over from Dagenham, you know, in the days when we produced cars in this country, and stop at the signal crossing at Kentish Town West, and the Aldenham boys would get aboard the trains and sometimes ride them as far as continental Europe, wherever that was. So they were very exotic characters, and I was just pleased to be in their presence. And they were all a couple of years older than me. And really, that's how I started hanging around with that crowd. And then, you know, the nucleus of the band started coming out of that mob of people.
At what point did you first sing professionally?
I think it was in the Nightingale pub in Muswell Hill. And I remember the street behind the pub was so narrow, the woman in the house opposite leant across and banged on the window with a broomstick. So I was to pack that racket up.